Shut up! The foot is on Triple M!
They played one of the games of last season.
He kicks back and... McCarthy's taken a streamer! And everyone's on their feet, no one's on their seats. They're all up and standing. McCarthy has given Brisbane a lead!
And both consider themselves flag contenders.
And Hickwood, 65 metres out, rides up and back to Drew!
Come on, Guess. Pull out the guitar. Play that tune one more time.
Oh,
he's gone from one weak chord
to a G chord to a D. Three chords and the truth from Gaz.
And the Cats are home here.
Now Brisbane and Geelong face off in a massive Thursday night blockbuster.
This is game on.
For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Oh yes, welcome to Triple M Footy for Kotai. This is the Triple M Footy preview. Whatever you need, Kotai can make it happen. Search Kotai today. Big night tonight. The Cats and the Lions get it off. MCG, neutral territory for both of these teams. Look forward to that. And we'll talk with Liam Flanagan, who's at the SCG, very, very shortly. First of all, let's welcome the two-time All-Australian, Nathan Brown, joins me. Brownie, good evening and welcome to you.
Yeah, great to be here, Brian. And that's the thing tonight, isn't it? Brisbane, neutral territory. If it was at the Gabba, I think they'd be a sure thing tonight against the Cats, who've been a bit up and down. But it'll be interesting to see how they go. So some battles. We're going to talk about Matty Scarlett later, and fascinating to ask him about Tommy Hawkins and Harris Andrews matchup.
Joey Montagna's with us too. I think two All-Australians for you too, Joey, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was. BT, nice to be here. Guys, I actually am giving Geelong a really good chance tonight, Brownie. I just think they might be able to strangle and suffocate this Brisbane Lions side that are playing some really good footy at the moment and can just lock it down. The SCG might suit Geelong better than Brisbane, and I think this will be a really close game.
And the only one out of these two that had any team success at all, Dale Thomas, welcome to you.
It's great to be here, guys. What an interesting game this shapes to be. Two sides, second and third on the ladder. I'm really eager to see what Brisbane can bring tonight. All their young stars across the board, and see Lachie Neale live for the first time.
When you're thinking footy today, Brownie, what are you looking at the sort of world of hubs and people and complaints and people? Everything seems to be going all right. What are you thinking? What?
I'd love to be in a hub, Brian.
If
I was at a footy club at the moment, if I was back at the Tigers, to go up to Noosa or Gold Coast or live in a hotel for a while, you got the boys, you can go out.
Which hub? Which hub? Where would you want to be? SCG, Gold Coast or Perth?
I think the Noosa one would be the perfect one, I think. I think at the moment. It's just a laid-back lifestyle. Go out, have a coffee. The best times of your life are being an AFL player. All the problems come when you finish your career and you've got responsibilities that you never had when you were an AFL player because the money's rolling in. And these are the roaring days, I tell you what, Brian, and I think they all need to enjoy it.
Jerry and Days, where would you have slipped in?
I think Coogee would be nice. Yeah. One of the teams are in Coogee. That'd be a nice spot to spend a few weeks. But I'm with you, Brandon. There's a lot of talk about the players that have got families, but we're talking maybe there might be three or four players in each team that have actually got families. There's about 80% of this playing group that are pretty happy to get away for a month, get out of Melbourne, spend some time together and win some games of footy.
I clearly understand the Basha Hooley and Shane Edwards one. The fact that their wives and partners are now having babies, and normally they'd probably miss one game and then they'd be back playing at the MCG, but because they then have to isolate away from the footy club, so you're looking at maybe 3 weeks getting on to 4 weeks, so there's no point in then taking them up there. So that's why they're sitting out, so you can understand that.
Yeah, Noosa for mine. I'd be unapologetic about rocking up with the golf clubs and the surfboard too at the check-in counter. That would be happening day one. Nothing of this waiting for the 2 weeks for the ISO to...
I did see the Cats semi-trailer being packed the other day. Did you
with
see
the surfboards?
That?
Yes, yeah, I did. Yeah.
And, you know, flying kites and all sorts of crap.
The PlayStations.
Heading over to Perth, I think, wasn't it?
It was.
For when they arrived
there. What happened last week, Brian? Daisy joined us on Friday night footy. He replaced Chris Judd, who just decided he was going to go for a holiday up to Byron Bay. That's an extraordinary place to go.
By the way, but out of 10 days, just on the Friday night.
Brilliant. Absolutely smashed it out of the park. But I did something that I don't normally do, and I followed up with Daisy, and I sent a text message because he went on about the fact that he likes people texting him. He doesn't like people calling him.
Right.
He doesn't answer the phone when he calls because that's what text messages are for. He's a real rude.
Yeah,
he's a real yuppie. But, so I texted him and I said, great job the other night, mate. Never easy to do what you did, and I thought I'd text you because I know you don't like people calling you, but great job. And he texts me back. He also called me and got my message back. Still didn't realise, but then followed up with a text message. Thanks, mate. Are you in the hubs already? He thought that I was the Nathan Brown that he used to play with.
In my defence, I thought he might have changed his number. And the fact you signed off with you, not Noodles Brown, just Nath Brown, that's what he signs off with. So I appreciate the text anyway. It was very kind of you, and I was very strong on Friday night.
Never got a text from you, Brownie. I never got one from you at all.
He's very selective. He does these sort of things. What else has caught your fancy this week, Joe? Anything?
Well, I just think really there's some good games of footy. It's a really tough tipping round. I know that we were just talking about it off air, that it's been an impossible season to tip, really. And I think so much of it now with these teams in the hubs are going to be more about their mental state and what sort of how they're feeling about these games of footy and the thought and the effort they put into it, rather than so much about strategy and tactics. It's going to be really fascinating to see which teams, you know, really blossom in the hubs and which teams really seem to struggle.
The biggest thing is to not be lethargic. You know, when you go away and you're at a hotel, it's very easy to eat the food, to sit around.
Play around all day.
Not do what you normally do because you can find to a hotel. Like if you're in Melbourne, you'd be going to the shops, to the supermarket to get your own stuff. All of a sudden, you don't have to get anything. You have to, all you can do is sit in your room and do nothing. So the whole art of it is to remain light on your feet and not be lethargic.
And hotel food is just not the same. I mean, immediately you start eating it, different things happen to your body, don't they?
Oh, you start farting, Brian.
Yeah. Oh, it's different. It's just not good, and nothing's the same.
And generally, they're all buffets, so you generally do overeat. There was always a number one rule, don't overeat when you went into state, and most of the time we overeat.
We went to the lengths at Carlton of making sure that everyone got a single plate because of that factor.
Really?
Often our record interstate wasn't great because of that reason. We thought that blokes would overeat at the stuffet, they called it. You just go in there, serve after serve. Mitch McGovern, one of them, was back and forth numerous times. He almost wore the carpet out.
I played with a bloke called Patrick Wiggins. You would have been
I remember
Bulldogs.
Patrick Wiggins, yeah.
We had a camp at Ballarat once, and the fitness guy came in. He was roaring.
Big like, man, 100 kilo, wasn't he?
Big man. Yeah. Centre-half forward, full forward from Tasmania. Simon Wiggins played for Carlton, was his brother. And the fitness guy came in, he goes, "You can't believe you blokes." And the buffet was there, so that they put on the buffet that you choose this. I know it's there, but you just don't choose all the bad stuff and all that sort of stuff. You can see Patrick Wiggins over next to the buffet. He's starting to put bacon in his pocket. He realised he wasn't going to get the bacon again. I reckon he got about 5 or 6 rashers in his pocket to take back to his room.
Last scene with 2 prawns hanging out of his back pocket. But I tell you what, there's some good buffets around.
Oh,
you go over to Perth and at Crown.
Crown.
It's a very good buffet. Yeah, Duck and I have been known to get in there for breakfast and go well. Tommy Brown's on the line with the latest in news for Triple M Footy. Tommy, good afternoon. Welcome to you. Good evening.
Good evening, guys. Good evening, BT. Good evening, Joey. Good evening, Brandon.
Tommy,
good evening.
Where are you?
I'm just outside the SCG, BT, ahead of tonight's game. I've got to access, which is fantastic. We just did the news. I'll start tonight with the fixture and the discussion around what's going to happen now after round 7. The AFL could release a round of the fixture as soon as tomorrow. And the plan I've spoken to clubs about tonight looks like playing as many as 4 games in 22 days or 4 rounds after round 7 in a bid to cram footy in now before the players are basically guaranteed to return to Victoria as per their agreement with the AFL after the 35 days. Now, the upshot of this, I'd just like to...
Tom, is the reason for so many games in such a short period of time is so that they can compensate for a break that they may need to have coming out of Perth? Is that it?
Correct, BT. So the AFL is basically committed to the players. And I've spoken to a lot of players and officials on the road up here in Sydney. They are sort of, they're fine with the hub, but they're counting the days back to when they can get back to Victoria. And the AFL, that's problematic, by the way, getting back to Victoria in itself. But the AFL is now saying, well, while we're on the road, we want to make the most of this. There's obvious problems with that. I just spoke to Simon Lloyd at Geelong. They're saying now, well, they're even going to contemplate with these 4-day breaks, resting some big names. They've brought their full list. Melbourne, for example, have brought 33 players. So it's going to start to advantage, you think, some of the teams that have brought their full list. That's one aspect of this. The other aspect is there's not enough clubs, as far as I can tell, in Perth or Sydney to make this happen. So what I think they'll have to do is start flying between the hubs potentially during that beyond round 7 period. So the AFL's working on this as we speak. I know there's lots of if, buts and maybes, but that's the level of complexity around the situation tonight and what they're working through.
Tom, can I just clarify? So you're saying that they're going to try and squeeze 4 games in 22 days, and we've heard talk of 5 games in 30 days. Daisy Thomas and I were just sitting here. Look, that's a normal fixture. That's like playing on the 1st, the 8th, the 15th and the 22nd. That's a 7-day break in between games if you play 4 games in 22 days. So is that accurate, or are they actually going to try and fit more than 4 games in a 22-day period?
Joey, I'm counting those 4 rounds after the scheduled round 7, which would take you to round 11. And I think the Herald Sun even mentioned today up to round 12, which would be an additional game. Simon Lloyd indicating they're preparing for 4-day break. So whether it's 4 or 5 additional games in that period, that's what the AFL is currently working through.
All right. And what about the grand final, Tom? I know you're up in New South Wales at the moment, and there's a lot of talk that perhaps that is an alternate grand final venue. Are we at the stage yet where we should even consider it? What have we got? Just over three and a half months until a grand final date if it was to kick off on the 24th of October. So Victoria still has a lot of time to decide that, don't they?
Yeah, everyone I think I've spoken to, BT, in terms of the key decision makers is on the same page. Victoria's got an agreement, the MCG's got an agreement, and if it can be played in Victoria with a crowd, it will be in Victoria.
But so the will they hold off making a decision then based on that?
They will, but the AFL, I understand, has already had tentative talks with New South Wales. Gil McLaughlin specifically made a reference to ANZ Stadium to the CEOs and presidents as the next best option yesterday. I spoke to Andrew.
There's not one game of football this year that's going to be played at Homebush, and you're telling me that the grand final could be played there?
Absolutely. That's an absolute fact. That's a major possibility. There's goodwill at the moment, BT, between New South Wales and the AFL, because I think some last-minute concessions for the hub up here really help footy continue. And I think they will be... Look, it's going to come down to money as well. New South Wales Trust and the ANZ have got ANZ Stadium have got together, and the government, I think, is prepared to pay reasonable money. Now, when I say reasonable money, it might be $20 million plus to potentially host the grand final, which the AFL could, if the MCG is not available, use to start a new future fund or help retire some of this mounting club debt. So there might be a double opportunity there somewhere.
Now, Tom, I was privy enough to be on the huddle last week talking to you exclusively, and you brought up where you wanted to go for the hubs. You obviously got the power move over Steve-O. You got to Sydney. He got to Gold Coast. And what's happening with him right now?
Daisy, I had dinner with him last night. He's not on the Gold Coast. He's in Sydney. He got to the border there and was escorted with his cameraman by the federal police onto the flight back to Sydney. The federal police were pretty helpful, apparently. They were very polite. But they had a manifest. They said, all Victorians, report here. They were thinking to themselves, oh, geez, will we try and squeeze through? They thought, no. They owned up, and it was lucky because they had a manifest of all the Victorians on the plane. And Steve-O's covering the games here in Sydney at the moment as well. It's become really hard to get into Queensland. I think I've got to spend at least 14 days here in New South Wales. And even then, because I'm a Victorian with Paran written on my licence, it might be difficult to get into Queensland. But Steve-O's in Sydney. I'm in Sydney. There's no battle. It worked out right in the end.
So, Tom, is there a bit of a power play or is there a contest between you and Steve-O? Steve-O has been around for a long time and he's got his bulldog contacts and his bulldog ways. And Rodney Eed, he certainly used to get a lot of information out of Rocket. But I see Steve-O as somebody who wouldn't take kindly to you coming along into a bit of his turf.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've never played a single game of any form of representative footy, but I reckon it's a bit like a footy club, Brownie, in the sense that we play hard during the day, but at night time we're happy to have a beer. There's no people like talking about this rivalry between me and Steve-O. It doesn't exist. We actually get on pretty well.
You know, he once played a game of tennis against Das and blatantly cheated to the point where Das was wanting to punch him on the court.
He's a good tennis player. He plays a bit like Jason Dunstall. Apparently, he flies straight towards your eyes, and you don't know whether to volley or move out of the way. He sort of prides himself. He actually disappears a lot during lunchtime, during the week when he disappears down to the tennis centre.
All right. Very nice that work, Tom Brown. Enjoy yourself up there, and say hello to Steve-O for us when you bump into him.
I will, BT. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Time now to talk a bit of footy, and particularly with the Cats. Maddie Scarlett has joined us online from the Geelong Footy Club up at the SCG. Maddie, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
No worries. Good to be here.
How's the hub life for you been personally, mate?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. Yeah. The weather's been really good. We've been able to get outside and go for a walk and get a coffee and plenty of sleep and plenty of food, mate. So I'm happy.
What about the officials? Do they load families up and take them too, or have you all gone free off?
No. A couple of the players have brought their partners and children up, but I don't think any of the staff have. So, yeah, just a few of our players have had kids recently, so they've brought them up with them, which is great.
And when do the surfboards and the golf clubs and all that sort of stuff arrive?
Yeah, good question. I think we packed a big van to drive up to Perth. So hopefully that third week in Perth, we'll be allowed to escape the hotel at some stage.
I think I saw that semi-trailer. It had a lot of boards on it, didn't it, Brownie? Yeah, had a lot.
Yeah, a fair few of our guys love their golf. So hopefully that third week, as I said, we'll be able to get out and do some stuff.
This is a massive game for you guys. Obviously, the first time you've travelled for a while, but in neutral territory, obviously, in Sydney. How do you see Brisbane? And obviously, second part of that question, Tommy Hawkins, so good last week, gets up the ground. He's obviously going to get the best defender in the competition in Harris Andrews.
Yeah, big matchup for Tommy. Harris is a wonderful defender. So Tommy will work up the ground. He was awesome last week. He got a fair bit of the footy and uses it really well for a big fella. So he'll try and drag Harris up the ground and try and get a fair bit of the footy. Brisbane are really dangerous. So speaking behind the ball for our defenders, they're really dangerous at quick kicking out of stoppage to an even-numbered forward line. They've obviously got some wonderful players down there. So our defenders are going to have their hands full. Obviously, Cameron and Hipwood are probably the two big guns down there, but the other guys complement them really well. So big night for our defenders.
Big night around the footy as well. Lockie Neal in ripping nick. Do you send someone straight to him or see how that unpans?
Oh, he'll have a body on him. We don't usually tag someone for the whole game, but he'll have one of our inside mids with him. He's a wonderful player, and it's quite slippery out here tonight, so probably suits those low to the ground guys, so we will have to watch him. He's a great player.
So Jack Stephen out. How's he taken the news, and what does he need to do?
Yeah, he's okay. Like he was just managed with a short turnaround. Obviously, he's missed a lot of footy and missed a fair bit of training, so... He showed some promising signs in the second half last week, so he'll be back in next week. He's not injured. And young Simpson's in, who's a really big runner, so we think on this ground it's really wide, so he'll be able to get up and down the ground.
Hey, Matty, just on Josh Jenkins, we're just talking off-air before about him. He came knowing that, you know, he was behind Hawkins and also who was the Radagalia. Is that something that he's known all along?
I think Scotty and the list management guys that brought him to the club made it pretty clear where he stood, I guess, in the pecking order at the start of the year. Now, he trained really well in the pre-season, and for big parts of the pre-season, we had him in our front half in our A-grade team with Hawk and Sav, and they were working quite well together. So he certainly didn't rule out having the three tools there. Unfortunately, he's got a back injury at the moment. He's got a really sore back, hasn't trained for quite a while, so he's just starting to run again now. So... he's out of the team because he's injured at the moment, but certainly we haven't ruled out playing the three tools because we've seen it work.
Clearly the barometer for them is Charlie Cameron. Kicked 5 goals against you in a low-scoring game late last year. Who gets first crack at him?
Yeah, Mark O'Connor will start on him, and obviously Busey will take him as well. So he's an unbelievable player. I sort of watched all those goals last year, and there's not much you can do about him. He just makes the most of his opportunities, and... obviously really good in the air and ground level. He's unbelievable and finish as well. So Mark O'Connor and Buse will get that match up, and hopefully the other guys can help him because he's unstoppable at times with his work around goals. He's a fantastic player.
We've seen as the teams have come in tonight that a few of the older players throughout the comp are getting a rest. How are your old boys tracking this point in the season?
Yeah, pretty good. But Joel's feeling really good and Harry's feeling really good and Hawk as well. So... obviously, with these short breaks, you don't do a lot of training. And I think the guys really enjoy that. They play and then do a bit of recovery. And we had a light kick and a jog here yesterday. So I think the guys liked us playing a lot of games. So those guys that have played a lot of footy, their bodies are really resilient, especially like Harry and Hawk and Sal. They haven't missed many games in their careers. So they're hard fit and they feel really good tonight. So hopefully they can play well.
Enjoy the night. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Nice to have him aboard, Matty Scarlett there. He'd be an interesting coach. I reckon he'd be all right, don't you?
He's very level-headed and probably gives a bit more now than what he did as a player. But
he does.
Daisy came out with a new saying. Did you hear his new saying?
No, what was his new saying?
Just repeat your new saying?
It's unpan, so it's a cross between unfold and pan out.
How's that going to unpan for you?
Unpan.
You can use that, BT. No charge.
What about this? So earlier, Joey, take us through the story about Riley O'Brien. We've got the audio of Riley O'Brien, what happened today.
Yeah.
But don't give us the punchline yet, but what transpired?
He accidentally tweeted his game plan on how he was going to beat Nick Natanui, basically.
My phone has decided to cark it, and I've had an absolute mare on my social media today. It tweeted some of my game notes in my notes on my iPhone. That I take these notes every week before the game to try and pump myself up and get a bit of confidence going into the game. Make a few things up, as you can see on the notes, to try and give myself confidence. Coming up this week against probably who I think is the best ruckman in the competition at the moment, Nick Nat, I was just trying to get some confidence and get going. So I really put the pressure on myself now. So I really got to walk the walk this week and try and get a kick against the superstar that is Nick Nat. So we'll see how we go.
What's he said, Joey?
He really did some sucking up then, didn't he, Rolly O'Brien?
And he didn't accidentally, like, you know, he didn't accidentally write a few things down that he shouldn't have.
Well, no, these are his notes, and that starts where he says, I want to beat Nick Nat. And he said, centre bounce, I've got to have a clear plan and execute. That makes sense. Got to get to the front and have grunt around the ball, get the ball on the deck and beat him in this area. That's okay. Then he said, I'm going to run hard off him. He's lazy and unfit, and I will have a field day getting the ball and marking everything.
That's great. Oh, how good is that?
So now he's got to deliver Big Rolly O'Brien. Everyone's going to be watching his game.
So would that have been from a scouting report, or would that have been his own?
As he said, they're his own notes. He's obviously scouted what West Coast are doing, how good Nick Natanui is, and then they're just his own notes on how he's going to motivate himself, what he needs to do to beat Nick Nat, and sometimes you want to keep those things private, Brent.
That's scary that sort of thing can happen, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
Imagine the amount of things you've sent about people or to your mates or something like that. If some of that stuff got on Twitter, Brian.
So Joey, if you were playing on Nathan Brown, would it have been similar to you?
I think there would have been a bit of that. Brownie will go one way, he'll kick chase that way, and I'll get plenty of ball going the other way.
What sort of things, Dave? What sort of feedback do you get? So last year, you with the Blues, what sort of direct feedback do you get in that sense that's actually written down for you? Today you didn't do this, or you need to do this to be part of the team. How's it look?
Yeah, the review process is very, very in-depth at the minute. There's usually a score given on your game, so 7 being of average quality, 8 above average, 6 below, and then there's reasons why. So you'll have your KPIs going into the game, what they expect you to do in your position, and then if you've got a match-up, did you win that match-up? And then there's probably 10 to 12 clips of things you did well and things you can work on for the next week. So
how low do you get?
Well, generally, if you get lower than 5, you're in the 2s and you're looking to come back in. I don't think I got lower than a 5.
Mine from Lee Matthews once said, you must kick 5 goals to be in credit.
Oh, really?
In other words,
well,
you
at least
give
that's
away
simple.
So much.
Yeah,
give away
just to break even.
You've got to kick 5 to break even.
Also, I want to give credit to Paddy Dangerfield because tonight he becomes just the 7th player in history, Brownie, to play 100 games at 2 clubs, but also win a best and fairest at those 2 clubs. I want you to have a think about it. I want you to see if you can name any of the other 6.
Take your time,
Brownie. Take your time and have a think. They've played 100 games at 2 clubs and won a best and fairest at both of those clubs.
Gary Ablett.
Very good. Good start.
Daisy played 100 at both Carlton and Collingwood. The
I
only
did look
player
at that.
Ever to do it.
I did look at that. Didn't win a bean effort either.
Didn't need a lot of time, that's for sure. Nathan Brown is right on the ball.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks